Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Their final stand, okay, correct. Oh, my dearest one must die, lay down my gun or take the chance of losing you forever. Duty calls, my back's against the wall. Have you no kind word to say before I ride away? Fight it, okay, correct. If the Lord is my friend, we'll meet at the end of the gunfight, it, okay, correct. Gunfight it, okay, correct. Boot Hill, Boot Hill, so cold, so still. Killers that died in the gunfight, okay, correct. Okay,
welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Am I late for the revolution? Has it started without me? Well, what's going on? Well, I had a couple of comments to open the show with. The Democratic Party has destroyed our fighting capability back to Nam. I call them the Communist Party. I call the rhinos the Democrazies. I should call them the Democrazies. The communists fight the spirit of America, which must be destroyed. Every last vestige of morality and freedom must be wiped off this country map where these people have this spirit of America, and it has to be crushed. Yeah. Every last vestige of morality and freedom must be destroyed. Any propaganda machine that can convince the majority of soon-to-be slaves that child murder is good has won the war. And right now we're going to cover two topics that I came across my eyes this weekend. One is a speech by a lady named Bridget Gabriel, and the other is a film that we watched from Netflix called The Haditha Massacre. And man, it was directed by a Brit, and it was a hit piece. But the sad part, it wasn't what he intended to do, to destroy the image of the U.S. Marine Corps. It's what all of the Americans, the media that came in for the kill, CNN, NBC, all you got to do is Google Haditha Massacre, and you'll see 20 names of different media outlets. Not one of them defended the plight of the Marine Corps. So having said that, opened up with that, I'll tell you what we saw. We saw a horrendous movie about Marines that were all jazzed up. And the reason I'm using the word jazzed up, I'm taking it from a Congressional Medal of Honor winner named Colonel Jacobson, who was invited on NBC, nothing but communists, to critique the Marine Corps fight in Fallujah. I don't know if it was part one when they had half the city taken and the State Department got involved and pulled them all out and negotiated, and negotiations failed, and then they said, okay, well, forget about the ones who already died. Send in who's left. And that's what the State Department did. And in the fight for Fallujah, one Marine who just lost two buddies in the house behind him found a twitching Al-Qaeda sitting on the floor, and the Marine finished him off. And a cameraman, and I believe the cameraman's name was Kevin Seitz, and he backshot that Marine. And then they tried to hang that Marine, and they brought this Congressional Medal of Honor winner. You know what Jesus says the law of averages is when it comes to betrayal? 1 out of 12, no matter what the position they're in. Anyway, this Medal of Honor winner described this young Marine, okay, who just lost two buddies, a house back, as jazzed up. So that's why and Chris Matthews was the one who was doing the investigation, leading the attack to destroy the U.S. military. You know, Chris Matthews, he hid out in Africa during Nam, so he wouldn't have to go and carry ammunition. Yeah, and carry the wounded. He went to, I'm trying to think of the name, it starts with an S, the African country he went to. And Jimmy Carter pardoned him, along with Bill Clinton, our president. Imagine we had a president that was a draft dodger and a perv. And now we got one that's an Islamo-Marxist. Yeah, we're doing good. Oh, we are doing good. Out of 320 million people, this is what we can come up with. We're doing fantastic. So the Haditha massacre goes like this. The picture begins showing the Marines all jazzed up. Because every day they go out to die, okay? And they're going out on patrol. And one of the things I noticed that was totally, you could see it would never be part of an SOP of any combat unit. They're riding in Humvees with 50 calibers mounted on the top. And they get to a town, and I think they've got two Humvees. And they get out of the Humvees, and they start to do a foot patrol. Now, you get out of Humvees with the 50 calibers on top, 50 caliber machine guns on top, and you go walk on foot, and you leave those Humvees unguarded? What, are you crazy? So that was one of the discrepancies I found in this communist hit piece. Then they had a situation. They show two Arabs who are getting money from Al Qaeda, and one of them is an alcoholic, and he's trying to cover up the smell on his breath. He's going to pick up a bomb. And the bomb is the size of a propane tank, and they got other C4s strips on top of the propane tank, and then it got a cell phone embedded in the C4. And the guy says, "Be very careful." Here's the number you dial. It'll set off the cell phone. So then they go, and they're in a pickup truck. And they got a wheelbarrow, and they got this propane tank, which is awkward and big, and they've got that. They got the bomb in the back of the pickup truck, a small pickup truck. And there is a checkpoint, and the Arab that drinks says to his nephew, "Don't worry, I'll take care of this. Just don't say anything. Don't look nervous." And they come up to the Marine checkpoint, and the Marines don't find the bomb. All they got to do is look in the back. He probably had it covered with the wheelbarrow. All they got to do is take the wheelbarrow off. But they got through, and they're celebrating getting through. So the next scene you see a family scene in a house right by the roadside. And it's like one of the perimeter houses that build back into houses on higher levels going up like the side of a hill. Now, the two Arabs go up to this house. Al-Qaeda comes in and drags all the women and children out, throws them out of the house that they occupy. And so all the Arabs in the community know that Al-Qaeda is about to do an ambush. And they say, if we warn the Americans, Al-Qaeda will kill us. If we don't warn the Americans, there could be retribution. Okay? So they say it's best to keep our mouth shut. And there's women and children, and an old man and a young man, and another old man who's carrying a hoe, and he's digging a hole for a fig tree. Meanwhile, these two Al-Qaeda operatives who got money for doing the job, they got like $500 and they were going to get another $500 after they do the job. They dig a hole. They got picks and shovels, and they dig a hole on the side of the street, and they put the bomb in, and then they cover it up. And the people in the houses see them doing it. And along comes an American convoy. Now, these guys are up in a spot where they can see everything and they can dial a cell phone number and explode that bomb. And along comes a convoy of about 5 to 7 vehicles, and the Marine convoy. And what they do is they go on the opposite side of the street away from the bomb. So the Al-Qaeda guy says, oh, we can't detonate the bomb. We got to wait till they come back. And some hours go by, and they come back. And as they're coming back, this guy, the drinker, he dials the number. The bomb goes off, and one of the last vehicles catches it. And the Humvee is cut in half, and it's burning. And one of their buddies, you know, who they bunk with, who they train with, half his body is on the street. The other half is gone. And there's a couple of wounded. So according to the director of this movie, the Marines go nuts. And they gun down everybody. And the only guys that have guns are the two that set off the bomb, and they're running like hell to get out of the way. They're unnoticed, and they're running up to see an imam who's going to give them the other $500. And they're firing their weapon as they go. So there's AK-47 fire. The Marines hear it, and they turn their weapons in the direction of the sound of the gun. And so what happens is they call their commanding officer and say, we need a chopper. We got one dead and two wounded. And IEDs are going off at other areas at the same time against other Marine outfits. So the commander says, do what you got to do. So these guys go into the house, and it's women and children and a couple, an old man and a young man. And the old man and the young man are non-belligerent, and they're having a circumcision party for a young boy, and they're dancing and they're celebrating, and men who are at that party are shooting AK-47s in the air. This is before the Marines get hit. So that tells me it's not only two guys that have weapons, but other men have weapons that are in that compound. Everybody's got a weapon. really, if you want to know the truth, everybody's got a weapon. So when the Marines get hit, they retaliate, and they start to hunt down whoever did it. And the director makes the Marines look crazy and vengeful. And they're going door to door, room to room. And what they're doing is when they go into a room, they throw a smoke grenade in, you know, a fragmentation grenade, you know, the one that, a stun grenade, they call it. And so there's a lot of smoke when they get in the room, and they start shooting. And they don't know who's in there, and they're shooting, okay? So they turn this thing into a massacre. And the old man is sitting in his room reading the Quran, and the Marines come in, and he stands up, and they shoot him. And they pull five guys out of a cab that were right by the explosion, and they shoot them, and those guys are unarmed, according to the movie. Okay? And then the young guy is looking for his wife and kid, and a sniper takes him out, even though he's unarmed. And they show the snipers laughing. And so it was a fantastic produced hit piece to anti-war, which is, you know what anti-war is? That's the code word for anti-win. I'm against the war. You sure you are? You tell me that when you're on a jetliner and Khalid the Virgin Counter is telling you, stop your crying, we're going back to the airport, and you're on your knees and all you can feel is pilot blood soaking into your pants. Yeah. So anyway, I love those anti-war people. Yeah. They say it from the comfort of a fortress. Yeah. They don't say it on the outside wall. But to continue, what happens is the end result is when the smoke clears, there are 24 dead civilians, there are women and children that were killed. And that starts a court-martial proceeding. And it comes down to, I believe, six Marines who are tried, and they're threatened with jail sentences for 1 to 15 years. And now I flash back, and I remember the colonel that was in charge of the accusation against him and his group. And his name was Colonel Chisani. And I remember the Thomas More Law School trying to raise money for his defense. And I think there was another outfit trying to raise money for his defense. But they showed the six Marines. I think they showed one black Marine and a couple of Latino Marines, okay? And the man with the fig tree that was planting the fig tree, the spy in the sky sees him walking with the hoe, carrying a hoe over his shoulder, and they figure he's one of the guys that put the bomb in, and all he was doing was planting a fig tree, and they kill him. They take him out with an explosive hit. And then they get court-martialed, and the end result was they were all found not guilty. And when I saw the picture of the six guys that were actually tried, they looked entirely different from the six guys they had portraying the Marines. As a matter of fact, one guy looked like a nerdy type of guy who would not be on the same wavelength as the other Marines that they portrayed as. They were all they all had that killer instinct, and they were, you know, vengeful craziness. Then we learned, I went to this website, I Googled Haditha massacre, and 20 names came up, and all of the communists newscasts were calling for the heads of these Marines. and only one guy was in on the in the list of 20 that was defending them, and he said that the director had used ex-Marines to make this movie, which I don't know how ex-Marines could ever do that, but different times, you know, and you got to remember the Judas principle of 1 out of 12. But and then they show a guy, he's having the beginning of a PTSD before they go on the mission. And he asks his commanding officer, can I go talk to the doctor because I'm not sleeping and I'm having nightmares? And the commander says, no, not until you complete your tour of duty. And one of the Marines that was there said that never happened in his outfit, that anybody that asked to go to the doctor was never denied. So you can see there's a propaganda piece being built up. And I flash back to a photographer's shot that really upset me. It was a video shot. And it was in Palestine, and like in Gaza, and there was shooting between the Israelis and the Hamas or Hezbollah or whatever, whoever's there. And an Arab father was trying to, he was hunkered down to protecting his son. His son was about 6 years old, and his son was killed in a firefight. And they showed, you know, the heartache and everything, and what the Israelis did to this poor child. And then it turns out he was killed by Palestinians by accident. Or maybe not by accident, right? But the propaganda that had hit the West was Israelis killing Palestinian children. And I sort of seen the same modus operandi on the part of this British producer. So the outcome, the final outcome was only the sergeant in charge was tried, and he was given 30 days of probation, and that was the end of it. And that was on Bush's watch, which brings me to Obama's watch. 4,700 Americans have died in Iraq under Bush. And the price they paid was to secure the country of Iraq. Okay? And for every American that died in Iraq, 8 microphones were placed in a mother's face who hadn't received the body yet, saying, how does it feel now that you know your son died under George Bush? Now, along comes the great peacemaker, Obama bin Laden, and he undoes all of the victory and accomplishments that took place in Iraq. He leaves no one behind to keep the peace, and he pulls out, and he's a hero. So he only has to concentrate on Afghanistan. So he goes to Afghanistan, where Bush lost 461 Americans, every one of them mentioned in the press, and he loses 2,300 Americans. Now, you got to remember body counts. The wounded count is 7-1. Now, he has killed 2,300 Americans in Afghanistan, and not one name appears in the press. Not one. They are listed as NATO troops. They went from being American troops under Bush to being NATO troops to be identified later. And that's how the press is in collusion with this president to kill this country. Now, you got to take the 4,700 Americans that Bush lost to gain control of Iraq, and you got to add them to the 2,300 that Obama lost in Afghanistan. So that gives you, what, 7,000 plus 3,000 at the World Trade Center? That's 10,000 we've lost in this war so far that we know about? Okay. Now Obama has to go back into Iraq and clean up his mess. He thought he could get away with cleaning up his mess in Benghazi by leaving no witnesses, but that didn't work out. And that trial is yet to come up. So now Obama not only has to go back into Iraq, he has to go back into Syria. And they're telling us that we're going to let the tribes do it. We're just going to give them air support. Well, you better get ready for another 50-year war. And Bridget Gabriel, who is my next topic, is going to tell us what it's all about. Because I thought that this jihad started in 1983 with the Beirut barracks bombing, where 220 peacekeeping Marines who were not locked and loaded were destroyed by Iranian bombs. An explosion that collapsed the barracks in Beirut. But Bridget Gabriel, who was the guest speaker at a Tea Party rally, and what a tremendous speaker. I have only seen her doing guest chats, you know, for 2 minutes on Fox. She had about a 15-minute segment at this Tea Party convention. And she mentioned all of the horrors that she experienced when the radical Muslims tried to drive all the Christians out of Lebanon. You know, Lebanon used to be the Paris of the Middle East. It was a beautiful place until the jihadis showed up. And she said, everybody will tell you that radical Muslims are only a handful. But a survey shows they're 25% of the Muslim population. And if you take 25% of 1.2 billion, I forget the figure, but it was like 157 million or maybe more. Maybe 25%? Yeah, it's got to be like 250 million. And she mentioned that this jihad, worldwide jihad, began when Jimmy Carter lost the American embassy to Hezbollah in Iran. And I think she mentioned that goes back to 1979. Yeah, I think that's what she said. So she was very good, and she says it is a worldwide jihad. And I flash back to another video that I just watched, and it's a Dutch member of Congress, and he was lambasted because he made a video attacking Muslim terrorists, and he said 10 years and 2 months he'd been working on it. Hang in there. I'm going to give you a tune. Hang in there.
Mi alma.
before I forget it, they've done a survey in the military. 90% of all in the military do not like Obama. It's just one survey. Check it out. 25% of Islam is radical. That's scary because it only took 25% of this country to win the American Revolution. So that's a hefty 25%. You think about that. All right, now we're talking about Bridget Gabriel. I think she said she was about 8 years old when the jihadis started to shoot up Lebanon. And she's a Christian. And they were killing Christians. So she had to live in a bunker, underground bunker. And she was just a young, innocent girl. She didn't know anything about what Christians, Muslims. And she asked her father, why are they killing us? It's because we're Christian. And she said that they had no light in this bunker. And she would crawl out of the bunker and on her stomach, because there were snipers that were shooting the Christians, to get dandelions to eat and to get water from a ditch. And every time she went out, she would say goodbye to her parents in case it was the last time. And then the jihadis got worse and worse and did a lot of artillery fire. And she thought she was going to die. And she got dressed in her most beautiful dress because she wanted to look presentable when she left this earth. How's that? And she was in that bunker for 7 years. And you know who came to her rescue? The Israelis. And the Israelis gave them their city back. How's that? And then she went to Jerusalem and she became a reporter. And so she is afraid for our country because she said somebody had their throat cut for the first time on American soil. And it's only going to get worse. And this is a jihad throughout the world. And that that congressman in Holland who has been the target of the religion of peace believers, and I'm not talking about the Muslims, I'm talking about the placators, he calls them the Ostrich Brigade. And they've had their head in the sand for 10 years and 2 days from when he once called for the removal of all Muslims from the Netherlands. And he says now more and more people are starting to see the light. So now, having told you that, I'm going to jump over to somebody sent me this, and I'm going to share it with you. And this is called What is Happening to America? Please show these numbers to anyone that does not believe the United States is in decline. 1. According to a survey that was just conducted, only 36% of all Americans can name the three branches of government. 2. Only 25% of all Americans know how long U.S. senators are elected for, 6 years. And only 20% know how many U.S. senators there are. 3. Even if you include same-sex couples in the marriage rate in the United States is at a 93-year low. Lawyers have a lot to do with that. 4. For the first time ever, single Americans make up more than half the U.S. population. I say there are nuns walking around that don't know they're nuns, but they don't get involved with men and they're bachelorettes. 31.1% because they don't want to go and trot out the beef for jerky. 31% of Americans, young adults in the 18 to 34-year-old age bracket are currently living with their parents. One out of every 10 teen girls in America engages in self-harm. Cutting and burning are the most common forms that this self-harm takes. One survey found that 85% of all young men in America and almost half of all young women watch porn at least once a month. A different survey discovered that 64% of American men of all ages view pornography by at least once a month. The internet can be used for great good, but it can also be used for great evil. It is being reported that 83% of U.S. boys and 57% of U.S. girls have been exposed to group sex while on the internet. One survey discovered that 25% of all employees that have internet access in the USA visit sex websites while they're at work. 11, there is an epidemic of porn watching among federal employees, of which we have too many. For example, one Treasury Department worker said he viewed 13,000 pornographic images within a span of six weeks. And you want to know what the answer was? Because he had nothing to do. How's that, man? An astounding 30% of all the traffic now goes to internet websites. Right now, 30 million Americans are on antidepressants. Americans account for about 5% of the global population, but we buy more than 50% of the pharmaceutical drugs. Americans consume a whopping 80% of all prescription painkillers. And the last one, according to a study by the Mayo Clinic, nearly 70% of all Americans are on at least one prescription drug, and 20% of all Americans. I don't know what that means. 20% of all Americans. Okay. So, it is sad, isn't it? All right, let's see what else we're going to do here. I was going to give you a big music fest, but I'll have to wait for another day. Let me see what else we see here. Some useful facts about global warming. You know what global warming is? It's a nuclear detonation, 30,000 degrees. Thanks to Sunday's climate march and Tuesday's climate summit at the UN, Americans have been delivered another whopping bucket of cagada de toro. Tear down this wall, it's Ronald Reagan, and global warming is a hoax. So, both the Earth and the Sun pass through natural cycles. The Sun is currently in a cycle of lower radiation, as signaled by a fewer sunspots representing magnetic storms. Interesting. There is currently no global warming. The Earth has been in a cooling cycle for 19 years. No child who has passed through K-12 classes in school has experienced a single day of global warming. Not one computer model that predicted increased the global warming has been accurate. Carbon dioxide, CO2, blamed for global warming, is not a pollutant, despite a Supreme Court decision stating this. Our exhaled breath contains about 4% of CO2. How can carbon dioxide be called a pollutant when it is directly responsible for the growth of all vegetation on the planet? Without CO2, there would not be a single bladed grass or a redwood tree, or the animal life that depends on vegetation, wheat and rice, for example, as food. There is zero evidence that carbon dioxide generated by human activities is causing catastrophic climate change. Climate is measured in centuries or shorter periods of many decades. In order to determine its cycles, The weather is what is occurring when you where you reside, and it changes every day. At 78%, nitrogen is the most abundant gas in the Earth's atmosphere. It is an essential building block of amino acids and present in all proteins. It is a very stable, unreactive gas. Oxygen is the second most abundant gas of life in the atmosphere at 21%. Water vapor is the third most abundant gas of life in the atmosphere. It varies up to 5%. It reduces incoming solar radiation by day and reduces surface cooling at night. Carbon dioxide is the least abundant gas in the atmosphere at 0.04%. The assertion that 97% of scientists believe that climate change is man-made and an urgent problem is fiction. In May, Joseph Fast, president of the Heartland Institute, cited the Zimmerman-Doran survey, in which out of 3,146 respondents, only 79 listed climate science as an area of expertise, hardly 97%. Surveys of meteorologists repeatedly find the majority oppose the alleged consensus. So, in February, Patrick Moore, Canadian ecologist, the co-founder of Greenpeace, a militant environmental group which he left in 1986, told members of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, there's another one we could close, there is no scientific proof that human emissions of carbon dioxide are the dominant cause of the minor warming of the Earth's atmosphere over the past 100 years. So there's a little global warming facts for a discussion. And having said that, I am going to go to a tune, and we will give you, if I can find the Oscar Brown Jr., we'll give you that there.
Daddy, what that there? And why that under there? And oh, daddy, oh, hey, daddy, hey, look it over there. Hey, what they doing there? And where they going there? And daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? Hey, who that in my chair? And what she doing there? And oh, daddy, oh, hey, daddy, can I go over there? Hey, daddy, what's a square? And where do we get air? And daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? My quizzical kid, man, he doesn't want anything here. He's forever demanding to know who, what, and why, and where. Inquisitive child, and sometimes the questions get wild. Like, daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? Don't wanna comb my hair, and wear my teddy bear, and oh daddy, oh hey, look at the cowboy coming there. Hey, can I have a pair of boots like that to wear? And daddy, can I have that big elephant over there?
The time will march, the years will go. Fellas gonna grow, I gotta tell him what he needs to know. Help him along so he'll know right from wrong, gotta make him strong. As life's parade goes trudging by, he'll need to know some reasons why. I don't have all the answers, but I'll try best that I can. Gonna help him to plan so he'll be a man. You give a kid your best, and you hope he'll pass the test when you finally send him out into the world somewhere. But though he's grown, I'm betting I never will forget. And daddy, can I have a big elephant over there? Hey, what they doing there?
and how you work that dare. And oh daddy, oh he, daddy, hey, what that say up there? Hey daddy, what is fair? How come I got a share? And daddy, can I have a big elder put over there?
Okay, we're back. I had a blog I did, and it got some appeal, so I'm going to read it to you. Three guys don't get it: O'Reilly, Obama, and Bob Bicker. It's Bob Bickle, but he's always bickering. Obama and Clinton always leave somebody behind to die. In Pakistan, it was the doctor who led us to bin Laden. Pakistan harbored Osama bin Laden. They will lend nukes to Iran if called for. O'Reilly forgets that 17 sorties and two others sailed into the USA as we slept mentally, but not physically. They did not bring down the Clinton Towers in Mecca, Dubai, Jordan, Doha, and Manama, Bahrain. To expect the coalition of the chilling to do more, ignoring the commitment word in Arabic, which is inshallah, which means God willing, but under their breath, they add Bukra Mafi, which means, God willing, tomorrow never. American fools who think they understand the Arab mind, which is different from the Turkish mind. Arabs hate the Ottomans. The Sunnis hate the Shia. Please stop using worn-out cliches like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Instead, substitute this Arab cliché. The fingers are different, but the hand is the same. In time, the fingers will close upon the knife handle and the hand will strike. The jihad member count is low. It is greater than 51,000. We could be missing a zero, so it could be 510,000 or two zeros, 5,100,000. Now Bridget Gabriel tells me it's 250 million. Our two greatest weaknesses have always been intelligence back to 1941 and the ability to negotiate back to 1944. For Obama, who is hated by Muslims who believe he is a kafir, to be played like the Democratic Party played him. For his latte salute hatred of the USMC, that was not by accident, my friends. He's the same guy that made Marines hold umbrellas while his communist staff laughed behind French doors. If generals make fun of him, can you see enlisted men spitting on the ground at the sound of his name? And it turns out 90% of them do that. You want to see a real commander salute? Get the photo of General McChrystal returning a private's respect. You know how he did it? The private saluted him and held the salute, and McChrystal stuck his hand out and shook it. Obama is going to ensure that no real African American ever rises to a position of power ever again. All you're going to hear is no more Obamas. And there's a great guy out there, and boy, what a row he's going to have to hoe. Okay, let me see what else we got here. He has destroyed the future of the people he pretends to serve. Did he ask Mexico to give back one Marine sergeant? Never happened. But promoted deserting a private bird call to sergeant because he is the symbol of betrayal? That's a great communist move. As sure as Private Manning changed his name and plumbing from Manly to Chelsea, as sure as Snowden is KGB. To stand in front of a UN assembly and attack the country he pretends to come from using Ferguson, Missouri as a source of racial tension is as ignorant and low as you can get. The two biggest lies he told was Islam is a religion of peace, which is a lie, and an unarmed, helpless boy was shot by police in Missouri. The 290-pound pot thug and bully was armed. He had two big arms that throttled a 115-pound Indian and face-punched a policeman exiting a patrol car. You can bet that was the SOP of a bully who charged a cop he thought he could beat down. Meanwhile, the Russians are on maneuvers with 4,000 tanks, 650 planes, 155,000 troops that we would be hard-pressed to match without a draft, not to mention the Chinese hordes who can lose millions of troops and not blink an eye. And not only that, but the Russians now won't let us go to the moon or to space. They won't give us a ride. Imagine that. Imagine us, one giant step. Now it's one giant step backwards. And that means we can't explore other galaxies or what's in the black hole. This president has told our enemies he will not fight back, and he proves it every lying day. To quote a General MacArthur, there's no substitute for victory. To quote Patton, no good military decision was ever made in a swivel chair. To quote Harry Truman, when they call the roll in Congress, they don't know whether to answer present or not guilty. And have you noticed the beheadings are becoming a routine and soon to be ignored? If we're going to rebuild our nation, we must purge it of our enemies in the Senate in November. More tea, anybody? Okay, going to a tune? When I come back, we'll be saying sayonara. Want to hear a sad? No, we'll do one for the troops.
This is dedicated to the one
Okay, it's almost sayonara time. We're going to say a good night and have a good week coming up. Enjoy this good weather before old man winter comes in. Take care, folks.